today on Real Radio.
When you send that message to a woman, I love you. Music in her mind starts playing. There's a sunlit field. She's running through the field. The dress, a wedding gown is flowing. Don't say those words. Those are powerful words.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J. thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack wraps up a series called the Worldview Series, a series that encourages us to have an active, relevant, engaging, and culturally involved faith. The social and political issues we face today are challenging, and many questions will arise that require the wisdom only the Bible can give. Believers need to stay strong in living out their Christianity by studying God's Word while continuing their focus on the gospel message. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Did you know that it is a sociological fact that whatever country practices the death penalty, there's less crime? What do you think about that? Well, that's an infringement upon the First Amendment rights. No, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I'll ask you this question before we end this. If somebody breaks into your home, kicks down your door, comes into your house, and slits your children's throat, rapes your wife, shoots her in the head, and you wind up surviving somehow, what do you think God would do about such actions? Not the governor, not you. What does God think about such actions? Because people outside of your home are going to say, you know, the guy was just depressed because he lost his job. And who are we to take that kind of authority over someone's life? What other kind of things the ACLU would put forward on this? Well, the truth of the matter is, God says human life, by the way, he doesn't say this about your dog getting murdered by somebody, or your cat, or your horse. God says anyone who hunts, stalks, goes after and kills a person, or kidnaps them or rapes them, is to be put to death. Why? Because that person has been created in my image. And no one has the authority to do that except the authorities that I appoint, Romans 13. Serious stuff. This is real. This is a really awesome worldview question, which, by the way, in the election, was it California or was it some? We upheld it, right? We're a funny state. We vote income tax hike on ourselves, and all kind of weird things, but it's funny. We supported, which I'm glad about, the death penalty. I'll end with this. Carl, your great country, England. I don't know if you realize this, but England, for years, many, many years, for centuries, actually, in England, when somebody was condemned to death in England, a pastor visited the person's cell every day with the, not a person, a pastor visited the person in their cell every day for 2 weeks leading up to their execution. And that person was asked if they'd like to accept Christ and have their sins be resolved of them, that they might enter to the kingdom of heaven and be forgiven. At the end of 2 weeks, if they accepted Christ or not, they died. That is an awesome practice of mercy in light of judgment and justice. Imagine if we began to give the gospel, if our system would allow the gospel to be given to condemned inmates on their way to death row or on death row, that would be fantastic. That's something. Next question. If the mandate does pass to teach LGBT issues at private schools, I thought it passed. And for homeschooler And for homeschooler, what do Christians do? Do they teach it? Okay, the answer to that is absolutely not. It's impossible. I mean, it's not. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells you what you're supposed to do. You teach your kids the Word of God. You cannot teach LGBT. Impossible. Impossible if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, teach them whatever you want. But now help me out. What does this person mean? The mandate, if the mandate passes, are we talking about SB 48? What are we talking about? Yeah, but it's not being voted on yet, is it? Okay, thank you. I thought SB 48. I see. Yes, this is in closed doors. This is being talked about. It's not, this is expected to come. This is not written up yet. This has already been talked about, and it's being talked about. Now I got you. Our state leaders want your children mandatory, mind you, mandatory. When your child reaches 4 years of age, they, if allowed, if this thing goes through that they want, that they're dreaming of doing to us, your child at four will have to go to a state school. No opt-out option for the parent. For 1 year, for that school year, your child will be taught by state-licensed preschool teachers of some sorts. My question is, why do they want to do this? And if in our state already they're doing this, I have some of the data on my in my office that teachers have snuck over to me. Do you see the methods of Marx, of Stalin, of Castro, of Mao? You get them as young as you can and put the seed of thought in their head. All you have to do is drop the seed of thought. How about this? How about this? How about mom and or dad bring the four-year-old to school and they begin to indoctrinate your child with the thought of excellence, integrity, being honest. Let's have a course to encourage your children to be honest. Now, any parent ought to be doing this. I'm being almost facetious about this. You shouldn't have to have the government. But do you understand what's happened in America? The government has so now, it's on rocket rails. Because in this last election across America, the American people have said, we don't know how to live. We don't know what to do with ourselves. We need the government to make all of our decisions for us, just like Samuel told the children of Israel in 1 Samuel 8. They said, we want a king, or in this case, we want a government that does everything for us. So this is a very sobering thing. The answer is no, you do not. What do you do about that? This is what's coming to America. I'm not being radical right now. I'm not being hyper. This could very well pass in the next 2 years here in California. What are you going to do? I will not allow my grandchildren to be exposed to this. I don't know what my answer is yet, but I will not do this. I would be sinning against God and against their little souls. So what does that do? What does that mean? Well, if it's state mandated, I'm going to be arrested. And their parents are going to be arrested. And the children could be awarded to the state. Where does this go? Well, you know, you got to obey the law. No, you don't. Not when it's ungodly laws. You don't obey ungodly laws. We're almost done. You got to have one more? Is there... What are the do's and don'ts of Christian dating? What are the physical boundaries? Holy cow. Can we roll back the clock an hour? Okay. I'm just going to answer it right down the aisle. I'd like to know how old you are. Never heard of Christian dating before. Don't know what that is. I mean, honestly don't know what that is. Is a Christian date? Christian date? Christians dating? Number one, according to the Bible, you're not to be unequally yoked. That means if you're going to date, you have to date a Christian. Why? Because you marry someone you date. But let's define what a Christian date must look like. To a prayer meeting. To a bunch of Christian friends going out somewhere. I know what it doesn't mean. If you think he's what are the words? I was going to say hot. If you think he's hot or she's hot, what's the hot word? What's the cute word? It's still hot? It's been hot for like 40 years. If you think she's hot and you want to go on a date, and it's awesome. She's a Christian. I'm a Christian. We're Christians. We can go on a date. She's hot. Okay, listen. You can even go to a prayer meeting, and you're thinking, man, is she hot. God, thank you for giving me such a hot date. You're mine. It's tough. Listen. It's tough. Don't get alone. Don't get in a compromising way. Well, wait, can you talk about the physical boundaries? Oh, and there's even a wink there. I would say that's as far as you can go, right there. The wink. That's it. Why? Because listen, young people, If you're two Christians and you're gonna go on a date and you're gonna play it safe, and your hot date, look, I'm a guy, so I'll speak for the guys. If your hot date, the girl, dresses up in a medieval iron knight in shining armor, all you could see is her eyes. That's it. Okay? Guess what? It doesn't matter. Trust me, a man. And man, don't tell me later, you shouldn't have revealed our secrets, man. I'm going to give you inside information tonight, girls. It doesn't matter if you're dressed in 3 inches of thick steel. Doesn't matter. As long as we know you're inside there, our minds are nuts. Our minds are all over it. Listen, men should not go out on a date. They can't handle it. They can't handle it. It's not possible. And the girl is so sweet. She's going, oh my goodness, I'm going to get dressed up. Because they love to get dressed up and they're doing the nails. Oh, and the hair. And for them, it's all, wow, look, it's so. And her friends are saying, that's so beautiful. You look so fantastic. And that's so great. And that is great. That's wonderful. Girls like to do that. Wow. What am I going to tell you? Dating, socially? Then go out with a bunch of friends. But if it's alone dating, you're just setting yourself up for the physical boundaries being crossed. If a girl kisses a guy, she might think, it's so nice. That's not what he's thinking. That's not what he's thinking. And she's thinking, well, I'll only kiss. That's it, I'll only kiss. That's not possible. The guy, it's just not possible. You're not wired like that. A man is not wired that way. That's why I firmly believe you should not say, you should not say to someone, I love you, without the next statement being, will you marry me? Because when you send that message, to a woman, I love you, the music in her mind starts playing, there's a sunlit field, she's running. Through the field, the dress, a wedding gown is flowing. Don't say those words. Those are powerful words. Those words are seriously empowered. Don't say those words unless you're ready to say, will you marry me? We are God's property. Jesus owns us. That's one of the things that makes us a Christian. I was catching a flight last night through or at New Orleans. Louis Armstrong International Airport in New Orleans. New Orleans. And I don't know what who dat means. I saw the shirts. I heard people say it. I don't know what it means. But it's a pretty wild place. And everybody's buying these shirts, property of the New Orleans Saints. Property of the New Orleans Saints. Everybody, property of. We've all had that, right? Property of in your high school or property of in your university, your athletic department. Property of your athletic department. Property of U.S. Army. I understand that. You, as a Christian, you're property of the Almighty God. The blood of Jesus has purchased you. When you put your faith in Christ, by the way, a lot of these questions tonight, when you put your faith in Christ, these questions should have evaporated. You know, I don't know why? The Bible says that we are doulos. We are doulos. We are bond servants. That's what the word. We have no rights. Did you know Christians theologically have no rights? We are slaves of God. We do not tell him what we will or will not do. He tells us what we are going to do. And we need to have a great change in the way that we think as Christians, starting now. We are to change our minds. In fact, we need to have our minds so washed, our brains washed by the Word of God, that it is not my will, but thy will be done. I may feel like doing this, but then I need to step back and say, wait a minute, before I go do what I feel, what does God's word say? Amen. That is a disciple. That is a disciple. Doing what God has said, not what you feel. And I believe that in the time that we have in our age, in our culture right now, this is a very, very, very good time for the church. But we don't know what's going to happen. We don't have to know what's going to happen. God knows. And he hasn't skipped a beat. And the amazing thing is, I think the church is going to get really, really, really right on real soon. Because you know what? We may have three services here on Sunday morning, but it might go down to a half a service on Sunday morning. But let me tell you, that half a service will have the power to transform this community and beyond. That's what persecution does. It causes purification. Because those who are not real, Jesus said it, there are those who believe for a while, Matthew 13, but when persecution, trials, and difficulties arise, they give up and go back into the world. That can only be good for the Christian church. Do you understand that? So here's my challenge to you tonight. You better make sure that you're a real Christian. Times are coming. The times may be here, and we are about to be understanding them. That if, like tonight, in 20 European nations, as of before this message started, people were on the streets rioting because they're having their welfare programs trimmed back. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell it to you here first. Just remember it, okay? Just remember it, because I want to be able to brag and say, I told you first. But it is inevitable. It doesn't matter who the president is and who the Congress is and who's in the House. It doesn't matter. We are going to have to adjust our entitlement programs. There's no question about it. Well, CNN said, Fox said, forget it. They will be reformed. They have to be if we are going to be a nation. The moment you cut into unemployment benefits or whatever the social issue is, America on the streets will be a powder keg of rioting and mayhem, just like areas of Europe tonight. I am fearful for my countrymen that it would be much worse here than anywhere else. Because we have a generation that has grown up that does not know God. And if you try to take a cell phone away from a kid, imagine, let alone to tell them, you know, you actually need to go get a job because we can't give you this anymore. I'll end with this. The strange thing about Europe right now, in the rolling back of the austerity program or programs, they're saying, we're going to have to trim your retirement. Okay, so don't you think 40, 50, 60, 70-year-olds would be out on the street rioting? It's their retirement. You know who's rioting right now? They're 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. They don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even know what the issue is in the news. They just, somebody throws a rock and, hey, give me a rock. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, that in the last days, because the love of many will grow cold, lawlessness will abound. So make sure you're a Christian. And to do that, it is to understand that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There's no way that you can save yourself. The best person in this room tonight is far from heaven without the blood of Jesus. Do you understand that? And then tonight, here's the part that I like the most because I'm closest to this person more. The person who has sinned the most. That's where I came out of. The person that sinned the most in this room tonight would say, or maybe you're watching right now and you're saying, I sin so much, God could never accept me. Oh, no. There's great news for us. The Bible says the person who has sinned the most and is forgiven loves the most. Amen. Why? Because we appreciate it more. If you've never had anything and then you get something, you take care of that something you have because you've never had anything. And there are people who have had things and then they get something and, okay, that's nice. Hey, when you have had nothing spiritually and you get saved, the gift he gives of eternal life is the greatest thing you could ever have. And I love that because it's not this church or joining some church or being part of some movement or, you know, giving money to the, you know, Red Cross. That doesn't do anything for eternity. Have you met Jesus personally? That's the thing. And he'll change your life. And he'll keep changing your life. These are amazing days. I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. It's a good time. Father, we just ask you, Lord, now in Jesus' name that, Father, you would, and we've prayed this so many times, but we just pray that you'd lay on an extra coat, that you would galvanize us, Lord, to the days in which we're in. Lord, that you would come upon us in Jesus' name and equip us, and strengthen us, lead us, and guide us. Father God, that we would be more relevant as a Bible-believing church because of truth and love than anything else.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in the third question and answer presentation of our Worldview series. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the program. Pastor Jack hopes today's message has clarified some indeed challenging subjects. Today's lesson was just one in our series called the Worldview Series. It's a series that looks at worldview issues with a biblical lens, and we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. You know, if you're looking for a more active, a more relevant, a more engaging faith, check out the Worldview Series. Now, today you can get the Worldview Series USB MP3 available for your gift of any amount to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a USB thumb drive that combines the entire Worldview series of sermons by Pastor Jack on MP3. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.